The professor, John Clayton, joining us a little earlier today as John's on the line. And John, how close are we to an agreement?
It's still going to be a little bit tricky, but I still think it gets done today. Now, one of the complications is that the unfortunate passing of Bob Kraft's wife, who's been really sick for some time, and it's really had an influence as far as a lot of the conversations, because Bob Kraft, who was a big player in this thing, has really not been able to do more than, say, 1 or 2 days of talks. Now, of course, from the owner's standpoint, you know, Bob's out of this at the moment just because, you know, they're really more in the lawyer's phase than anything else. But, you know, it's a very untimely passing and a loss of a very valuable person to the National Football League.
John, will we have the players vote today and the owners vote tomorrow to ratify the deal?
I think so. You know, one of the things that they can do is take the parts that are there and then try to vote them in and then take everything else as addendums. Now, the big thing is there's still a few sticking points that could cause the players not to sign off. I mean, they're still arguing about workman's comp, which may not seem like a lot, but there's a big issue because you can get so much money out of California with workman's comp. And they're still kind of battling a little bit on whether to have more than one franchise tag on a player for life. But I think in the end they'll resolve that. As you know, Roger Goodell had a phone call and an exchange of ideas with the Morris Smith late last night at midnight. I think they probably worked through some of the issues. We'll work through it today. But I do think that you'll have the board in there trying to vote on things and then try to get things going for later in the day.
So if as expected, things pass today and tomorrow, John, what would the time frame be?
Yeah, you know, that still has to be worked on because they were going to go ahead and work officially on the timeline yesterday, but they did not get done. You know, still has to get the named plaintiffs all settled, too. I would say that this plan would be the 25th would be the start of getting everything going as far as re-signing, and then 28th as far as free agency, then probably start camps around the 31st or August the 1st. That would seem to be the working things that people are thinking right now. You know, it could be held off a day or two, but I know that the owners plan to get there. I know the CEC, the executive committee that's running the negotiations, is going to be there today, and then tomorrow they hope to vote this in by noon. But, you know, there's still a lot of issues as far as trying to get teams under the cap, and nobody knows the system totally.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with ESPN's John Clayton here on 105.7 The Fan. And, John, what's going on with the plaintiffs in the case? A lot of talk yesterday about the possibility that guys like Logan Mankins and Vincent Jackson could hold this up.
Well, they could, but also, too, they haven't really contacted all the plaintiffs yet. I know of at least two that have not been contacted to at least go through the settlements, but you can see what they're going to do. They're going to go at the end and try to squeeze them, and then if you don't agree to what's available, then they'll probably try to out them like some people did yesterday with Vincent Jackson. You know, because Vincent Jackson's position is, hey, I lost a lot of money last year. I could have been a free agent, but by holding out, you know, he ended up only making, what, about $500,000. He lost $2.7 million. So you think at the end they'll come with some money. Won't be the money that I think Vincent Jackson, Logan Mankins expects. Mankins wants out of New England, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you solve a lot of things by just paying these guys off.
John, how different are the rules going to be from what you've heard?
Not too much. I mean, I think it's still going to be the same proration. It's still going to be $120 million salary cap as opposed to $128. Still going to have the franchise tags. It's, you know, some little maybe accounting things that might be a little bit different. But for the most part, they're getting the cap back. They're getting it pretty much with the same rules.
John, what about the off-season rules and the workouts?
Very dramatically different. I mean, what you're going to see is the OTAs go from 14 to 9, where a player really never has to show up after the season until maybe May 1st. That is huge because now bodies will get a chance to rest. Training camps are going to be completely different because they're going to guard the number of padded practices, no two-a-days, and they're going to really monitor when the start of camp is going to be. Maybe next year they may not have the 15-day start that they've had in the past.
John, how upset are the coaches that you have talked to about these new rules on the field?
I mean, let's put it this way. They've got to be numb. I mean, first off, they've suffered a lot. I mean, you know, some have taken 35% pay cuts. Now, fortunately, they're going to be getting that money back. But also, too, they've had, you know, their careers are on the line with what they can do with these players, and they've been able to do nothing. Now they're not even going to have the hitting that they're accustomed to. You know, if you're going to be a new coach coming in trying to establish something, you know, the rules are almost counterproductive to try to do anything big. So it's like you want to try to have a hard camp, but you're going to have a soft camp. And so coaches are really going to be in a tough stead because of this.
John, how many players do you think get signed by their own teams in that 3-day window?
Oh, I'd say maybe 80 or 90. You figure the good ones are going to hold out and try to hit the market. But, I mean, you've got already got a lot of minor deals. I mean, I think that if you go to some of the players, that even the minimum salary guys, you know, a lot of those guys will sign just to get know that they're back on a team and back on a roster. So I think that you know you already know that Alex Smith is going to get done. I think you know you'll see probably 60 to 80 guys get done real quick. But most of the big names are going to wait because, as you probably know, even though there's no shooting in the National Football League, they've been shooting for weeks, so they're going to wait for the money.
Hey, John, there's been a lot of talk about Steve Smith and the Ravens, possibly. Do you think that's a match?
No, absolutely not. Don't see that one at all because, and unless you're talking Steve Smith of the New York Giants, Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers would fit what they pretty much have at the moment, older wide receivers. I mean, they needed a guy like Torrey Smith with speed to kind of stretch the field. You know, and if you're bringing Steve Smith over to be a third receiver, I just don't see that. You know, they have Derek Mason, made a good move in getting Anquan Boldin. Now they need to at least see what they want to try to do maybe as a third, but they have Torrey Smith for speed. No, I think they're pretty well set at wide receiver. A
couple final things with ESPN's John Clayton here with Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato on 105.7 The Fan. John, is Kevin Cobb going to Arizona for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie? Are you hearing that?
They're going to have to throw in more than that. I mean, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie and maybe a second. I'm sure that's what Philadelphia is going to hold out for. But, yeah, I think you know now that they put him on the table because that's a huge move. Because I went through the stats, and Asante Samuel only had 20 passes completed against him last year because they only had 45 thrown. Now you put a cover guy who's got great speed like Cromartie on the other side, you got a little bit more of a balancing act, and it takes him out of the market for paying, say, Nnamdi Asamoah. So I think as long as there's another draft choice that's reasonably high in that mix, Cobb ends up in Arizona.
Who do you think is going to be the big winner, John? I mean, we'll project it now. Who will be the big winner out of free agency?
Well, I mean, I guess you'd probably say that, you know, the two teams that will be signing the most, I don't even know if you call them winners yet because I don't know if those signings are going to translate into victories more than there, but I think Washington's going to sign the most and Miami's going to sign the second most, or they're going to be the two biggest players in free agency. The question is, a lot of times you get in free agency, you don't know if you're really going to turn the thing around, but you do know that the Redskins are going to be the biggest player. They're going to spend the most money.
What about Tampa Bay and Cincinnati, John? They have a lot of money to spend.
I think Tampa Bay has a chance to really kind of slide in there and really do some good things. I mean, I think that by default, they have to get into Nnamdi Asamoah, where they have to spend more than $60 million. And you kind of look at the Cincinnati Bengals as having way too much money. It's kind of like going into McDonald's when you have a $1,000 certificate. You know, it's like you don't want to spend it. I mean, this is not a team that likes to spend money, and now they're going to be forced to do it. I don't think they're going to do it very well.
John, what do you think if the Ravens couldn't re-sign Baldur? Say he goes somewhere else, he wants to start, or he gets a better offer somewhere else. What do you think about the Ravens and Donovan McNabb as a backup?
I think it's a good fit for Baltimore, but I don't think it's a good fit for Donovan McNabb. His mind's not wanting to be a backup quarterback. I mean, that one I just don't really see working out and then try to come into a new system that's completely different than anything he's had. I mean, here he was going from Philadelphia, which was a pure West Coast system, to a Mike Shanahan version of a West Coast system, and there was struggles whether you believe Mike Shanahan or whether you believe Donovan McNabb. But to move into, you know, kind of that Air Corps Yale type of system and be a backup, I just can't see McNabb even thinking of wanting to do that.
John Clayton covers the NFL for ESPN. As always, John, I appreciate your time, sir.
Have a good flight, John.
All right.